As most of y'all know, I'm a mom to three young kids, and I know a lot of you guys are too. And the one thing we all use is diapers. That's why I want to tell you about how great Pampers Cruisers 360 is. Pampers Cruisers 360 is a must-have baby-proof diaper for your wild child. I don't know about your children, but Sunday, who is now two, has figured out how to strap on and off her own diaper, but Pampers Cruisers 360 will fix that problem. Unlike ordinary taped diapers where babies can rip off the tape or the tabs, Cruisers 360 is tape-free and hence removal-proof and baby-proof. It has a 360-degree stretchy waistband that simply slides right on. Pampers Cruisers 360 keeps up with your wild child with up to a 100% leak-proof, gap-free fit. No matter how your baby moves, it's the ultimate baby-proof. Try Pampers Cruisers 360 with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. They're made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess, with Free and Gentle mess meets its match. Add Pampers Cruisers 360 and Free and Gentle Wipes to your cart or pick them up at your local grocery or big box store. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Family time is precious, and connecting over a home-cooked meal, now that's what love is all about. But for most of us, finding the time to plan meals, do the shopping, and cook from scratch can feel impossible. That's where Gobble comes in. Each week, choose from their rotating menu of 18-plus gourmet meals, mix and match from classic recipes, lean and clean recipes, and vegetarian options, and Gobble will deliver right to your door. Plus, they have lunch options like salads and soups, breakfast kits, and even desserts. We had the turkey enchiladas the other night, and it was a huge crowd favorite in my home with all my children and Kyle. It was absolutely delicious and, more importantly, easy to prepare. See what a difference Gobble will make for your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited-time deal. Get $120 off across four boxes, plus free shipping and free cookies. Go to gobble.com/livingfully. That's gobble.com/livingfully. That offer is not available on their home site, so don't miss out. Hey y'all, this is Mallory Irvin, and it's time for all of us to live fully. It's so important in this crazy world of ours that we stay connected, inspired, and motivated to be and do our best, and that's not always easy. I'm here with my guests and friends to share the stories and lessons we've learned to help you live your best life every day and truly begin living fully. Let's make it happen and get started with today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited for our guest today, Vianna Farron. I am thrilled because she is one of my favorite Instagram accounts to follow. If you guys are not familiar, let me give Vianna a quick intro. So Vianna is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She works out of New York, practicing out of New York City. She received a Master of Science in Marriage and Family Therapy from Northwestern University. She has trained extensively at the Family Institute, a Betty D. Harris Center. She's treated individuals, couples, families, so many different people in a clinical setting. After moving back east, Vianna continued her training in Manhattan-based private practices. She works, like I said, with individuals, couples. She works in anger management. She does literally so much amazing work. And she started her own practice, Mindful Marriage and Family Therapy, in an effort to expand her approach and help as many people heal and step into their transformation as possible. She is also a relationship expert for Motherly, which is a platform for millennial mothers who are transitioning into parenthood. What is really, really cool too that she does, she runs singles and couples retreats around the world. And she leads relationship workshops in new cities every few months. Vianna literally has 500,000 followers on Instagram. This is a place where I found Vianna, and she's one of my favorite Instagram accounts to follow. So without further ado, so proud to bring you guys Vianna Farron. All right. So I am with Vianna right now. Thank you so much, Vianna, for coming onto the podcast. We are just so excited to have you on today.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here and excited for our chat.
Awesome. Well, so I explained a little bit to Vianna kind of off the podcast about the podcast and how living fully is the message that we talk about on every one of these podcasts. And we talk a lot about the things that stand in our way from living our lives to the fullest and things that we can improve upon to live our lives to the fullest. And we talk a lot about relationships on this podcast. And I bring my husband, Kyle, in. We talk about our own experience with
couples therapy and with therapy and just trying to really, you know, better ourselves and better our relationships. And, you know, Vienna has about 500,000 followers on Instagram. It's really interesting how you've brought the message of therapy, in particular couples therapy and individual therapy, all of this to the mainstream, because it kind of is counterintuitive, or it's kind of, you know, something you guys were taught against, correct?
Totally. Yeah. Right. Right. It's like something to hide, something to maybe be ashamed of course, you know, the stigma around therapy that many of us grew up with. And yeah, I do think that there's a big shift that's happening where access to it and recognizing that we're all healing something. And so it's been a beautiful experience and beautiful platform for me to bring some of the content and material of the things that maybe I chat about in sessions or the work that I do on my own self out, where it creates just a new thought for the reader, if they're willing, right? Like when I started my Instagram.
I love that, how you just said that.
That's all that it was. I remember it, I mean, it was years ago, but I thought, you know, why am I doing this? What's, you know, what's the hope? And gosh, I never thought that it would turn into what it is.
Yeah.
But I remember just thinking, if one person can have one new thought a day, that's the goal. So it's really been a cool space to write and share and engage with people.
Yes. Awesome. And, you know, I always, when I'm clicking through my friends or people, you know, celebrities or a lot of people clicking through people's Instagram stories, I notice, you know, if I keep seeing a name over and over, and I kept seeing mindful MFT, like all of these quotes and all of these that people were reposting for a really long time. And then now it all comes full circle. It was you the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been shared across all of these platforms over and over. So it seems like it's really resonating with a lot of people. I mean, it is really resonating with a lot of people. You know, I always wonder people's stories, like why they get into the things that they get into. And I've listened to you on a lot of different people's podcasts and talking about your own story. So you were an only child, your parents were going through a divorce, which you said on this podcast I was listening to that it was the longest divorce in New Jersey history, that was kind of the catalyst to you getting into it. I mean, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I know. I can look back on it now and chuckle about it. Obviously, living through it was a very different experience. But yeah, my parents got separated when I was in first grade. As you said, I'm an only child. And they went through a really hostile time, and that went beyond the 9 years. And sometimes I share that, you know, their relationship really evolved and has transitioned, and we've done plenty holidays together, and they're great friends now. But there's, you know, going back into the story and going back into the history and going back into the experience, you know, our minds, we love to rationalize and explain our stories. We love to, you know, sort of find the reason for it, the takeaway, the resiliency that has been, yeah, extracted from it. And that is there, but we also need to be able to go back into that space and acknowledge the story for what it was. Yeah. And so, you know, for me as an only child, you know, my dad is Lebanese, and at the time he presented with, you know, a lot of his emotion was in his anger, was in his manipulation, was in his gaslighting. And, you know, he was really quick with his mind. My mom, her emotion was in what felt like overwhelming emotion, flooding of emotion that was just so all consuming. So, you know, a lot of crying and a lot of pain and sadness and hurt that just took over. And, you know, I went back and forth between two people who were managing their emotion in different ways, you know, neither of which felt really safe for me as a kid, right? You know, I can zoom out and I can say, I get it. And I can see why we go into that space and, you know, what survival looks like, et cetera, et cetera. But when we zoom back in, right, it's like, well, that was still hard for me. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, as an only child, I don't have a sibling to download. Wait, what's going on with mom? What's going on with dad? Can you believe? Oh my God. You know, like you don't have that buddy. And so, you know, I became an observer of what was going on. I watched and I listened and I absorbed and I figured out what I needed to do, you know, in order to be okay in that space. Yeah. And, you know, what that amounted to was a kid who sort of figured out a lot of things on her own, got really good at the extracurriculars, right? So I put a lot of time and energy into, you know, sports and violin and, you know, German and just a bunch of things. Yeah. And that's where I got good validation. Right. And so it sort of muted.
I definitely relate to that.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. And so it's like, it muted this part. It developed into being sort of a needless woman for a period of time, masked as an independent woman. I felt really good about that for a really long period of time. It was like, look at what I don't need anybody. And that was the extension of, I don't trust that you guys can see me and hear me. Not like not my core basic needs, right? But like that you're seeing that this is affecting me.
Yeah.
Right. And so I didn't trust that they had the capacity at the time, as a kid. I didn't trust that they had the capacity, that their stuff was so fragile and shaking and on fire already that there wasn't really a whole lot of room for me to bring my stuff forward. And so I didn't. And so I got really good at things. And so I didn't need much at all. And, you know, objectively, if people were looking in at my life, they would have probably said, oh, like she's great.
Yeah, she's doing great.
She's got it all together. And, you know, she succeeds at a lot of things that she puts her mind and energy too. And those things were all true. And I fronted really well, but was hiding big parts of myself that I didn't even know were there at the time, right? Wow. Like as a kid, and young adult, oftentimes we don't even recognize this. So, for me though, I think your question, sorry, I've gone on a big loop here. It's like
given me 10 more questions.
Oh, good. It's like, how did I get into this work? And so, I saw what divorce was. That was the model for me. That's what I knew. It was incredibly painful, not just for me as, the child of it, but also watching the impact that it had on my parents. And, from an unevolved place, it was like, I don't want to experience that at all. I'm not going there. And I wanted to do everything in my power to make sure that I would never get divorced, right? It was just this path of opposition. I'm not going down there. I don't want to experience that because I see what it's like. That obviously has evolved and is not coming from a fear-based place, right? Originally it was, but I got into the field because I wanted to understand why some relationships are healthy and functional and expansive and why some aren't, and what goes into that, and what are the tools and what's the education that I need, because I don't want to do that. I went and I studied marriage and family therapy. It's all about relationships and understanding the systems in which we grow up and our programming and our conditioning and how we heal and how we become like the driver in our own lives through waking up, through awareness, through consciousness. So, that's the short side of the story, but amazing.
What an amazing story. And now here you are having come through this on the other side, and you're in a healthy, awesome, beautiful marriage because your husband, he also does similar work. I've been looking at Man Talks lately.
Yes.
Connor, you guys got married last year and helping hundreds of thousands of people. And I like what you just said. You said helping us to become aware and get back in the driver's seat of our own lives. And it's funny how much we let the people that we're in relationships with influence us driving our own cars sometimes. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in my own life. You can call it what you want, codependency, and you can call it so many different things, especially in the therapy world. And Vienna and I were talking off the podcast too of how common this language has become now in the mainstream, this therapy talk. People talk about boundaries and codependency and all of these things, which I think is a great thing that people are talking about this type of thing. And so something that you just said, in case people don't understand, okay, square one, why do I act like this? Everybody, of course, is standing here in their relationships, whether they be broken or whether they just want to improve upon them or whether they're looking for one. And they're thinking, I've seen a pattern in myself and I keep ending up this way in relationships, or maybe you keep having the same argument with your spouse. What is square one? What is square one? You've mentioned family systems, so I'm assuming that that's going to be the answer. But what is the first thing that we look at if we're trying to improve upon our relationships and we really want to make that effort? Where do we even start?
Great question. Yes. And you nailed it. You know me so well already. Yeah. I mean, my framework, right, for me is where I always begin is family of origin. And when I say that, it's just the family in which we grew up. And so that may look hundreds of different ways for people, right? It may be mom and dad and you, that was mine, right? And there was a split and neither one of my parents remarried. So that, you know, that was it for me. It might include step parents. It might include siblings. It might include a grandparent. It might include your niece and nephew down the road, but who come over every single day, right? So there's a lot of different things that can go into the family system. So it's just the people you grew up around, right? And who was there most of the time. And sometimes we have, you know, two households that we go back and forth. So I ask people to just consider like who is in your family of origin. But for me, it's like we, you know, when we grow up, right, like we are just absorbing everything that is given to us. Yeah. Right? Like we have no filtration system when we're 2 years old, right? We're not like, hey, listen, mom, let me check the facts, right? Like we're not asking questions. You know, there might be times where we get little intuitive hits as kids for sure, because I think kids are so on it and they know like, I'm not sure that I like think that this is right. Or like you said something that doesn't seem like it actually aligns with what's going on. And that's how it's honestly how as adults we teach children to abandon themselves, right? Yeah. Their intuition, right? Is that they notice something, but then we, you know, we deny it or we tell them something else. And so, but if we go back into it as us as children, right, our job is to begin to explore the messaging that we've received, right? Like what are the implicit and explicit messages that we receive about gender, about education, about religion, about money, about communication, about conflict, about sex, about intimacy, about on and on and on. We start to explore those things to see like, what was I taught, right? What did people tell me about these things, right? How did I, whether it was spoken through words or whether I just observed it, right? Whether it was something that that was implied because there was maybe commentary or we saw people shut down in conflict, right? Like we get information and data points along the way that tell us and shape our belief systems about how we operate in this world, what we ought to believe, who we are, on and on and on. And so our job as adults, when we come to this work is to begin to explore that. Some of what they've given us is spot on. It's good. It's aligned. We're going to keep it. And other stuff, we're going to say, actually, that's your stuff. That's not mine. Yeah. Right? Like, you know, that's the passing down of your unintegrated trauma or your pain or, you know, your conditioning that you've never challenged. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, like a really basic, simple example of that, which probably many of us grew up with and heard is like, you know, boys don't cry. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. Just really simple and straightforward. You know, now we wake up to that and we're like, well, that sounds a little weird, right? Yeah. Like, and like shame boys and shame men for crying. Like, I don't know. Right. So like, just so basic and simple to say, like, what is that message that I received around that? Where else did I get it from? You know, was it supported through TV and movies and media? Was it supported through my teachers and my coaches, right? Was it supported through, you know, people in the community, you know, cultural beliefs, traditions, et cetera, right? Like we all come from different places with different communities and different things around us. And so our job is to really zoom in on that and start to ask the questions or start to understand what has contributed to our conditioning, to our programming.
Wow. Yeah. And it sounds really complicated. Like when you hear it from you who are so educated in this and you know all of the ins and outs of why we do certain things. But, you know, say my husband and I, we come into a session with you and we keep arguing over the same things over and over. I was watching a lot of your Q&As on your Instagram and a lot of people were asking similar questions over and over. And there was one question that I kept on seeing about like differing values or differing beliefs. They said, whether it was like finances, whether it was children, whether it was, I need to feel love from you through words and not actions. So many couples, I feel like, obviously two different people, they have this kind of clash. So say they come to you and you explore it and you find it in the family system. Oh, actually, you know, your parents did this or what? Then like, how hard is that to break that? How hard is it to change that? Is it something that someone that's not sitting in an office with you or at one of your retreats, is there any way that a listener, say they have one of those conflicts in their relationship, is there any way that they can move forward without the help of a professional, you know?
Yeah. You know, so sometimes it's just about the thinking piece, and it really, so the answer to your question has a lot to do with how deep the pain is that is associated with what we're talking about. So sometimes we can connect a dot and be like, oh, this is why you do that. Or this is why I do that. Like, right, I don't want to do that anymore. And we can replace the behavior.
Okay.
Right. But if there's a lot of pain or suffering, wounding, trauma that is related to whatever it is that's being presented, usually we're going to have a hard time just overriding it with thought.
Oh, right? That's such a good point. And that's, I've suffered with that in my own life. And like, I continue to be like triggered by something. And that's like, you can't work through it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's why so many people find themselves so frustrated with themselves when they keep choosing the same thing over and over again, when they intellectually know it's not right for them or good for them, right? So like our patterns, right? So a lot of people are really good at knowing their patterns. They've connected the dots. I go for this type of person. I keep finding myself in the same dynamic. Why do I do that? I know that that's not what I want, right? And yet here we are over and over and over again. Or I hate when we get into conflict and I become someone I don't like. I don't want to be that way, right? Like, so, you know, we've got so many examples of that. And so how come I can't just choose differently when I know, right? How come I can't just change the behavior when I know I don't want to be acting that way, or I don't want to be choosing this type of person who is boundaryless or super critical of me, or, you know, on and on and on. And so, you know, that distinction is really important, because a lot of the times it means that we haven't done the grieving work that we need to do, that we haven't actually gone inwards to be with the emotion and do some of that healing work around the trauma or the wounding or the pain. I use that somewhat interchangeably just on these calls, because how somebody relates to that might be different. So if you're someone who knows their patterns and can like connect dots, or knows, I don't want to do this, or I do want to do that, but I'm having trouble doing it over and over and over again, it most likely means that there is a lot of emotion within you that you have not been with, that you have not processed, that you have not done enough of the healing work there in order for the shift to happen. Yeah. Our system will not budge on something if it needs our attention.
Wow. Our system will not budge on something if it needs our attention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a pretty amazing point, and one that I also, that's another one that's not the fun piece of this. Everybody wants to talk about the healing, the other side, the best version of themselves. But in reality, I mean, I just know from my own personal experience, you have got to dig up under that rug, like everything that we've shoved under it for years and years. And yeah. I was from a family that, quote unquote, it was like a perfect family. Mm-hmm. And you know, later in life, I understand that, you know, it's way easier to just brush things under the rug. And I feel that that's something that's really common. And it's actually something that I talk a lot about on the podcast. Gosh, wouldn't it be so much easier to just leave all that stuff under the rug? But it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it affects every part of your life. I'm just talking from experience. So I guess my question then too, so we're on a podcast, but I know that you're a professional at learning how to bring therapy to the masses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a listener, that's like, oh my gosh, she is speaking to me. I'm doing the same thing over and over. I'm choosing this type of man. Say it's a person that's dating. I see actually a lot of, it's funny because you're a marriage and family therapist, but a lot of the questions I was seeing on your Instagram were from people that were dating, and you actually have a retreat for singles, like the find the love you want, like a a really amazing program. What do you feel is something that stands, what is something that's really common that stands in people's way in finding the love that they want, whether they're single or whether they're new in their relationship, finding the love from their partner, I guess, that they want?
Integrating pain, integrating trauma, integrating our wounding. You know, I think I always say that we need self and relational awareness in order to really stand shoulder to shoulder with someone else. Mm-hmm. And what gets us to that is like, we can be aware. And this is where we move from like the thinking brain into embodied, like feeling our way through it. A lot of times we're really good at understanding. We've done all the reading. We read all the quotes. Mm-hmm. We've taken the courses. Mm-hmm. We've done, you know, like all of the things. We get it, right? We get it up here, but we don't feel our way through things. And I think that's one of the biggest blocks that most people have, is that they think that just understanding it intellectually is going to get them there. And it doesn't, right? It's like, you have to feel your way through a part. The thinking part, the connecting the dots, is a beautiful start point. It's incredible. A lot of people can't do it. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh shoot, I've just done the thinking, like, no, good on you. That's incredible, because so many people are even blocked to seeing where their dots connect. It's so, you know, gentleness and compassion always for the self, but it has to go a step further. And that to me is like, I have not actually felt what I need to feel in order to, like, it's almost like on a cellular level, right? For it to begin to shift. So I know that that is, I wish that there was like a 1, 2, 3, follow these things, like old school Cosmo, you know, do that and this will happen. But I think if I could offer anything, it's to, yes, recognize the patterns and, you know, notice those things, but also make sure that you spend time feeling, connect to, you know, we talk a lot about the inner child in, you know, the therapy world. And I don't know if that's a term that's come up in other podcasts for you in the past, but, you know, when I think of my inner child, when I think of me at, you know, 5 or 6 years old, most of the time. And it's the times in our lives that sort of get trapped. It's this very like trauma related, where it like stops in time, where something happened. And, you know, for me, my little girl didn't get what's, you know, something that she needed. Right. And so for the listeners to think, like, when are those moments? Like, when I think of myself as a child, you know, what age am I? Right. Like what comes up, yeah. Who comes up what at that moment? Because she, right, for me, she will not let me go somewhere else because she doesn't want to be left behind, right? The little girl within me does not want to be left behind, right? She wants me as the adult, right, in this relationship, me with me, to see her, right? To honor, to witness the sadness, to witness the pain, to witness the experience of what it was like to go through that. And if I have to be like, oh, no, but it was totally fine, or like, you know, my dad wasn't around a lot because he was working so much, but like, he was a provider and that's what he needed to do. And I constantly have to override these things to make them make sense. Then I'm never actually honoring the inner children, right, within, that maybe felt like dad was absent, or, yeah, you know, dad wasn't present, or I missed him. I wanted him, right? Like, that's just an example of it. And so I do think a lot of the times when we can tap into that inner child work and sort of reparent by witnessing and observing and feeling, like, you know, when kids just want their parents to lay with them and hold mm-hmm. them and like, oh, just yes, be here with, right? You as a parent, right? Like, just be here with me, right? Like, yeah, hold me, right? Cuddle me. You know, make it feel safe, right? Like that's essentially what we're trying to do with ourselves, to say, I see you, right? I see myself. I witness myself. So it's when we don't do some of those pieces, we're just trying to jump from point A to point Z without slowing down and being with ourselves along the way, feeling into the, whatever the pain is, like, yeah, allowing it to take up space and trusting ourselves to be able to be with it and see it without shaming it or guilting it or being embarrassed by it. Yeah. It's hard work though.
If you've been wanting to learn a new language because you're traveling abroad and you want to experience that country beyond just the touristy spots, then Rosetta Stone is for you. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on most devices like your desktop, phone, or tablet. You can learn anywhere. Rosetta Stone teaches through immersion. Instead of memorizing and drilling vocabulary words, you learn by matching audio from native speakers to visuals, by reading stories, participating in dialogues, and other practical language skills to fast-track your ability to communicate fluently. There are no English translations in the product. You're getting trained to listen, speak, read, write, and think in your new language. They offer 25 languages from Spanish to French to Italian, German, Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and even Dutch, Arabic, and Polish. Rosetta Stone has been around for 30 years and used by millions because it works. As you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's also an amazing value. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, Living Fully podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Okay, I know we are coming into back to school life for all of us with children out there, and I am all about something that makes your life easier or your life as a parent easier or helps kids get their vitamins or their nutrients easier. So let me tell you about something today called Little Critters. So it's back to school time, and this is one of my secrets for back to school. And between backpack browsing and outfit arranging, there is a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routines. And that is Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. So my kids think they're eating fun, delicious gummy bears, all while they're actually getting essential nutrients for their health and development. I will never tell them that part. Little Critters is a pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and a super yummy way to start the school year. So if you guys want to find an easier way to get kids vitamins starting this school year, because we already have a million other things to worry about, shop now. As most of y'all know, I'm a mom to three young kids, and I know a lot of you guys are too. And the one thing we all use is diapers. That's why I want to tell you about how great Pampers Cruisers 360 is. Pampers Cruisers 360 is a must-have baby-proof diaper for your wild child. I don't know about your children, but Sunday, who is now two, has figured out how to strap on and off her own diaper, but Pampers Cruisers 360 will fix that problem. Unlike ordinary taped diapers where babies can rip off the tape or the tabs, Cruisers 360 is tape-free and hence removal-proof and baby-proof. It has a 360-degree stretchy waistband that simply slides right on. Pampers Cruisers 360 keeps up with your wild child with up to a 100% leak-proof, gap-free fit. No matter how your baby moves, it's the ultimate baby-proof. Try Pampers Cruisers 360 with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. They're made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess, with Free and Gentle mess meets its match. Add Pampers Cruisers 360 and Free and Gentle Wipes to your cart or pick them up at your local grocery or big box store. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
It is hard work. I've done a lot of it myself, but still fall back into it. Have to repeat it again. But I like so many things you said already. You know, you can't jump from A to Z, and you can't, in the beginning of the podcast, you were talking about how, you know, you were saying, and I've said before, but I'm an independent woman. Like, I don't need to, you know, it's okay. It's fine. All of that in the past, it's fine because I'm strong and I'm here and I'm fine. But if you have to keep saying that over and over, like, oh, it was okay, or it was fine, I can totally see how those are things that you need to go back and revisit. And there's something about the inner child work that is so emotional, like thinking of yourself as a child and not receiving things that you needed.
Yeah.
It's like you see these innocent children. I see my own children and you think, oh, I just want to give them everything. But as parents, so many times we just get in our own way and we're so wrapped up in our own everything that you don't. Yeah. And I always try and bring professionals like you onto this podcast that can help us, that can guide us through. If maybe you're a person that can't afford therapy or it's not the right time, or you live in the middle of a community that doesn't even have therapy, it's so amazing to be able to have a resource like you that can teach us these types of things, or at least, like you said in the beginning, form a new thought. If it can form a new thought, just like your Instagram may jog someone's mind around something, and you're connecting dots and are like, aha, this is what I need to work on. And you know, as I was going through a lot of your content, people ask a lot about boundaries. And I feel like that's a word that's thrown around a lot. And people want to say, oh, I've set boundaries with this person, or I've set boundaries with myself, and I've set boundaries with my children. And people throw it around a lot. And I want to hear from a professional like you. A, can you just explain to someone that's like, what are all these people on social media talking about with these boundaries? You know, what are boundaries? You talk a lot about how they can be too rigid, how they can be too porous. I like the kind of image of you on a podcast. You were talking about how you felt like you were like on a fence, like kind of going back and forth between the two types of boundaries. Talk a little bit about that, because I feel like boundaries can be super powerful and can really help in a lot of relationships.
Yeah. You've got the language already. We, you know, in the therapy world, we talk a lot about boundaries being rigid, porous, or healthy, right? And obviously our goal being for us to have healthy boundaries. And so, you know, the rigid boundaries are, if you want the visual, it's the concrete wall that's really high up. Nothing's getting in and out.
Yeah.
The porous boundaries are the fence with huge holes in it because, I don't know, animals have come running through it. And, you know, so now anything can get in and out. And the healthy boundary would be like the fence that's intact, that has the, you know, that has the latch, and you can open it when it's appropriate, and then you just close it, right? That like you get to choose who comes in and who comes out, and or who goes out. And so, you know, I think a lot of times actually in the, you know, media world, we overemphasize the setting of boundaries, but we don't spend a lot of time talking about lifting boundaries. Okay. What'd you say?
I said going through with the consequence, like that's
Totally. Yeah. Right. Because we will speak it, but there has to be a consequence on the other side in order for the boundary to truly be honored. So, you know, for me, I do like to talk about recognizing where we need to set the boundary in order to protect ourselves, but also where we need to lift a boundary in order to connect ourselves. So, you know, this language, right? So like this language is really important. I love it. My colleague, Alexandra Solomon, put beautiful words to this through connection and protection, right? Yes. So yes, right. So it's like when we are in healthy boundaries, I feel both protected and connected. When I'm in a porous place, right, I sacrifice protection for connection. Mm-hmm. Whatever you wanted, sure, yes. Oh, you can't make the date tonight? Let's do it tomorrow. You betcha. Oh, tomorrow comes around. You can't do the date tonight? Let's do it the next day. Oh, you betcha. You can't do it the next day? Right? Like we don't say no or honor something because all we want is some form of connection, even at the expense of ourselves, right? Rigid is protection at all costs, saying nobody coming into this space and you're not going to hurt me. You're not going to harm me. You can't even access me, but it comes at the cost of connection, right? I will never be able to be deeply connected to someone when that concrete wall is all the way to the top of the sky and that's it. So why do some people show up in different areas? Well, a lot of it has to do with our wounding, our pain, our trauma, right? So if in our stories, we had people who were, you know, constantly porous with us. Let's say it was a parent who was not able to manage their own emotional way of being, and they needed tons of stuff from us as a kid. Mm-hmm. And we became a caretaker to a parent. Yeah. Right? So we may either take a path of repetition or we might take a path of opposition. So we may find ourselves in future dynamics as adults where we allow the same thing to happen, right? We're just constantly there caretaking everybody else, making sure that their emotional well-being is taken care of at the expense of ourselves because that's what we know. We also might take a path of opposition, meaning I swing the pendulum all the way to the other side. I'm so fed up with what I had to deal with as a kid that I will never do that again, right? And we become really rigid. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, totally.
Right? And so
talking about the rigid piece, because when I hear people ask about boundaries, it's always that I need to set. It's never I need to lift.
Right.
And that's, I love it that you're talking about that, because I never even, until I started listening to your content, I was like, nobody's really talking about this side of boundaries.
Right.
How do we need to soften them a little bit to be connected? Because connection is so important.
That's right. Yeah. Right. So it's like recognizing why I might be holding in this position right now. Why do I feel I need to protect myself so much? Why do I feel like I need to connect so much? Yeah. Did I not get connection as a child in a healthy way? Did I always need to fight for attention? Was love through performance? What did I have to do in order to be seen by you? Right. So like really asking those questions to say, like, how did I find myself in this position? Am I trying to protect myself? And what was I trying, like, what's the origin story there? What did I need to protect myself from in my family system? Right. Or who didn't protect me from something in my family system? Right. Maybe a trauma happened that where somebody didn't step in or there wasn't protection. So that wall is all the way up now. And it's like, I'm not bringing that down. Bad things happen when I bring that down. Right. So our job is to begin to explore, where do I find myself? On what, you know, on the wall, on the fence, like where am I? And trying to get curious about, well, what got me there? Right? Yeah. Like, have I taken this path of opposing what I've experienced before, or am I taking the path of repeating what I experienced before? Because a lot of times in that pattern, we are, you know, recreating certain things to, you know, finally be loved, or finally be chosen, or finally have somebody see us, or choose us, love us, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Right? If only I work so hard to get you to love me. Right?
Yeah.
And so we'll.
I was going to say this could be in an intimate relationship with a spouse, or this could be with a child. I'm assuming you're talking about any relationship, a parent, but I hear you talk a lot about also boundaries with yourself, with how you talk to yourself, or, you know, different things to do with that. And while I have a lot of different people that will listen to this podcast, some may be married, some may be dating, some may be single. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can always improve your relationship with yourself. I've heard you say some pretty amazing things kind of in that space too. So can you speak to that? Because I never really thought about, let's set boundaries with myself.
Yeah.
But it's a really powerful thing, I think, in trying to live your life to the fullest.
On its simplest form, it's matching your yeses with your yeses and your noes with your noes, right? Like, I think a lot of times part of this repair and restoration of trusting the self requires this daily practice of following through with something that's a yes is a yes, and something that's a no is a no. Really simple, right? That's something that all of us can begin to do immediately. You don't need anything. You just need to listen and see if this is something that resonates, and then you can begin to put it into practice. It's like creating these commitments for ourselves where we follow through, because the moment we say no to something that's a yes or yes to something that's a no, there is a betrayal that happens with the self. The self cannot trust the self.
Right.
Right. The self learns your word means nothing. Mm-hmm. You'll betray yourself. You'll abandon something for something else. Right. Like, that's what it teaches it. Right. So on its simplest form, begin to match yeses with yeses and noes with noes. When you get stuck or confronted, there's a follow-up question. So I know that I don't actually want to go on a date with this person, but I think I'm just saying yes. I think I'm just going to say yes. Right. It's like pausing in that space to say, well, what's coming up for me here? Right. Like, if I say no, what am I afraid will happen?
Right? Yeah.
What am I afraid of having happen?
Yeah.
I lose the date. I don't have an opportunity of having this person love me, want me, choose me, want to go on another date with me. Like, what's the fear on the other side of saying no? What's the fear on the other side of saying yes? Right. This is how we can begin to zoom in a little bit more on what's driving the behavior, right? Yeah. What's driving the choice and the decision, right? I think another angle of it is being aware of our inner self-critic. Right.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah. Critic, right? Generally has been the internalizing of an outer critic, right? So whether we experienced it towards us from somebody else, maybe it was a parent, maybe it was an ex, you know, it could be anybody, but these words, these criticisms that we now have absorbed as our own, or it might be through observation. Maybe we watched mom criticize dad, very harshly. And so now we see parts of ourselves in dad and then begin to self-criticize and become judgmental and harsh with ourselves because we associate with something else.
Yeah.
Right. And so how do we begin to pause some of these things and, you know, crack them is by becoming observers, right? This practice is all about waking up, becoming aware, noticing ourselves when we're doing it. Right. And so sometimes we don't notice it in the moment. Sometimes we notice it at the end of the day when we're like, whoa, that was harsh. Right. Like we can be quite abusive towards ourselves. If we all cracked open our skulls and got to hear, right, the inner chatter that many of us have, we'd be like, oh my gosh, this is why we don't speak to anybody else. Yes, most of the time like
that's
that.
So true. I remember one time, I don't know if it was a therapist or I can't remember, someone was like, would you ever speak to anyone like you're speaking to yourself in your own head?
Yeah.
And I was like, of course not. Right. Because I'm like a nice person. I care about humanity. And like,
right.
But then you're thinking, well, heck, you're talking to yourself like that. So yeah. It's funny to say that, but isn't it the truth, the way that mm-hmm. we talk to ourselves? And a lot of times, you know, I learned to like check the facts a lot of times because I would say, you know, I do this or I do that. And I would check the facts and I would say, I used to do that actually, but I don't anymore. So why am I still saying it? And it really helped me to get rid of some of those thoughts. And it took kind of over and over and over having to repeat those steps. But I feel like I'm a lot better at that. And it, just in my own journey. And I'm glad that we talked about that kind of boundaries with self. And I feel like that's really the yeses are yeses, the no are no's, and then kind of revisiting that and asking that second question. I think that's amazing advice. And you know, something else that you said that I want to talk about, because you know, we're always going to experience conflict. And I like starting to think about conflict in a positive life, in a positive light in my own life. So I think of conflict. You always say conflict is a beautiful gateway to connection. And I believe that. Mm-hmm. I think some of my strongest, deepest relationships have been through the biggest conflict. And whenever I was younger, I used to always think, well, you know, the people that would say, oh, we never fight and we really get along. I used to always envy those relationships and say, that's what I want one day. And I sit here now in my own marriage and I say, that's actually not what I want, because I want a relationship. You're always going to have conflict. I want a relationship where we can have major conflict and we can get through to the other side as a stronger, deeper, you know, mm-hmm. more connected couple.
Yeah.
And you kept saying that in a lot of the content that I was listening to. And I was just like, man, that is so true. So can you speak to that person who may be a person that's in a relationship where there is conflict? And I'm not talking, there is some conflict that obviously you need to get out of that relationship. If it's conflict that's hurting you, that's abuse and you know, that type of conflict. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, you have different values and you keep clashing over the same things. You keep having the same arguments over and over and it's never resolved, that type of stuff. Can you talk about how you can turn that conflict into connection?
Yeah. So, you know, where we start, as we probably get by this point, is understanding what our story is around conflict, right? What has informed us about conflict, right? So my first ask is generally, okay, well, what did conflict look like growing up, right? Well, what did it look like? And some people say, well, there wasn't any. Okay. So, you know, okay, got it. Or maybe it was behind closed doors or what, you know, so for most people, right, conflict is something that we want to avoid because it meant anger, it meant aggression, it might have meant silent treatment, it might have meant passive aggressiveness, it might have meant not speaking together with one another for a week, it might mean being swept under the rug, right? On and on and on. It can mean a lot of different things that don't generally generate trust and safety and security for us, right? What's going on? Something energetically feels weird and off, especially as kids. And so we're like, ooh, well, yeah, I don't want to go there. And or conflict means attention, right? So sometimes people create conflict in order to connect, right? Sometimes people tear at the relationship so there can be moments of attention, connection, oftentimes confused for, you know, love, right? So a lot of times our trauma bonds will show up in that space. But, you know, in this work, right, it's that we're trying to change this narrative to say that conflict is information. And that's a beautiful start point. It's like, okay, so if I just look at this as information, what is there for me? I do agree, like what you said before, I do repeat that sentiment over and over and over again, that for me, conflict is one of the greatest gateways for deep connection, understanding, intimacy, togetherness, et cetera, et cetera. And so when we go into conflict and we say, or we're on the other side of it and we say, okay, something's here, right? Like it's my job to learn something new about me and something new about you, right? If something has peaked like this in the way that we just did it, it means that something really important is here, right? There's a flag in the sand waving, saying like, hey, hey, hey guys, please slow down. Connect to this. This is here. This is old, right? Yeah. This is familiar. The only reason we move into a space like that, right, is because something has just been crossed. Something is familiar, right? This is in our history. Yeah. Like I know this and I'm going to protect myself or I'm going to attack you or whatever, but something's about to go down. And so when we can pull ourselves back out of that for a moment to begin to become observers of ourselves and the other person, then we're going to learn something there. So you know, most of the time we don't do that well. Most of the time we wind up getting caught in like shame loops because we're embarrassed of how we've acted. The other person might be embarrassed by how they've acted. Maybe feel really hurt and harmed and we're defensive. We're proving a point. We need to like be right and make the other person wrong. Like there's so much that happens in conflict. Those things are really common ways of being, right? Yeah. And when we're in the space of needing to prove our point, needing to be right, making the other person wrong, needing to win, making sure that we're not losing, right? If that's the focus, which oftentimes it is, then we're not actually accessing this beautiful information that is underneath the surface. Right? And so what do we do, right? What do we do? And again, as pretty much with everything we've talked about here is like, it can be complex and it can take a lot of work because we can't just redesign this in a day and in a moment. But I think if I could offer anything, it's the next time conflict comes up for you and maybe you get into it and it's not until days later that you realize, oh, there it was. And okay, you know, and I think I listened to this podcast a few weeks ago and she was talking about this thing, right? Is I would really encourage people to go and journal and write and say, try to see what's familiar in that space. It's not about the content of what the detail, the fact of what you're fighting about. Mm-hmm. Ugh, they left the toilet seat up or the tooth.
Right.
Right. These very like calm.
That's what our therapist used to be right. Like, I don't want in the weeds.
Yeah.
Like,
get out of here.
Yeah.
Right. It's connected to something, right? Like what's the wound? What's the thing that you are not feeling or are feeling because of that, right? Mm-hmm. I ask you, I don't feel seen by you, right? I don't feel honored or respected by you. I feel betrayed. I feel unloved in this moment. I feel, right? If you can fill in that blank and then in your journaling, ask, so what's familiar about that? Right? Where have I experienced that before? You know, where's the history to what came up for me? Mm-hmm. Right? What was that? How was I trying to protect myself in the conflict? Okay. By needing to be right, by proving my point, by showing you how much you were wrong, right? Like just exploring that, where do I go and how do I become in that space? Oh, honest. I become mean. I become harsh. I become someone I don't want to be, you know, like asking those questions or maybe we flee, right? Like a lot of times, you know, probably people have heard the common fight or flight approach. There's also freeze and fawn. right? So there's actually four Fs, four ways in which we'll go into defense mechanisms, right? And so we might fight and go after it. We might flee the situation and get the heck away and shut down. Freeze is also another way of like just staying stuck in like sort of frozen. I mean, that's why we call it freeze, right? It's like we just freeze in that moment and just want to not engage at all. Mm-hmm. A lot of times fleers will become productive and freezers will not become productive. And then fawn is, I just want to make it go away. Like, what do I need to do? Okay, you're right, you're right, you're right. Like right. We become the pleaser, right? And so just thinking about the ways we respond in conflict and what happens, how do I try to protect myself? Which one of the Fs do I go into? What am I trying to protect? But if I'm moving away from, do I really need to protect myself right now? And sometimes the answer is yes.
Yeah. Right?
As you said, like we might be in a dangerous situation and we may need to flee and get the heck out, right? We might need to fight. So this isn't about overriding this always. Sometimes we need to honor our threat response, right? But a lot of times the response is something that we can actually be with without closing off to it, right? Sometimes it's like, okay, but I have a partner who I love, who loves me, right? I had this person across from me who like, we're in the weeds right now. We're not seeing to the other side, but it's not a situation that I can't be present to, right? I can be here and I can start to feel and connect to what's going on for me. And in that space, we can become more informed about like this recreated X, you know, from my childhood, or this recreated Y from a past relationship, or, you know, like this brought forward an insecurity that I have of not being enough, or, you know, not being respected enough, or, you know, whatever. And so when we can begin to bring that forward in conversation, hopefully we have somebody on the other side who can hear that and is willing to hear that and engage in it. I know we're not all in those situations because a lot of times we have people who shut down or won't hear it or are defensive, but our job is still to do our work regardless of other people. Right. Yeah. So, you know, those are some of the, again, it can be complex, but hopefully those are some access points, at least to becoming more aware of what goes on in conflict and how we can begin to reframe it and see that it could lead us to something much deeper, much more intimate with ourselves and another.
To connection. Yeah. Like just what you were saying, because it's usually, you're so right. It's usually not that thing. Like you never do the dishes. It's something much deeper than that.
Why do I? Yes.
Lives being like, why the heck won't you ever do the dishes? But it's just not about the weeds of it. And I've learned that. And it's been a really powerful thing to learn in my own relationship. I'm so glad that we talked a lot about that today, because I think it's something that a lot of my listeners can take that on themselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, something that you just said, you may not always have a willing partner in this. Say you are in a relationship and you keep having these conflicts. You really want a deeper connection. You want to better your relationships. You want to be better at modeling relationships to children, or you just want to get out of the conflict, or you want to find the love that you want, you know, whatever it is. And I know you do retreats for singles, and you talk a lot about how important self-awareness is in relationships. And, you know, I see people all the time on Instagram being like, I know myself, you know, I'm the best version of myself. And it's a thing that everybody's talking about right now. How important is it to, I mean, I know the answer to this. Of course, it's important to be self-aware before you get into a relationship. I guess what I'm asking, if you're a person that feels like, gosh, I don't even know myself, and you're already in a relationship, what are the steps that you can take? Here you are, you're listening to you and I on this podcast. What's something that you can do, regardless of if your partner wants to talk about all this with you, if your partner's sitting here listening to this with you, if your partner's willing to go to therapy? You know, maybe that's not the case, but what's something that we can do within ourselves to help us in our relationship? Yeah.
Well, if you're sitting here and thinking, oh gosh, I'm not self-aware, that is you being self-aware, right? So yeah, like good for you, right? If you're like, oh shoot, I don't do this stuff well, preach, right? Like none of us did. I didn't do it well for a long time, right? And it also never ends, and we never stop the journey. And so good on you for recognizing like, oh, okay, well, there's, you know, there's been a block for me or there's a limitation for me. And where do I begin without necessarily needing to go do a deep dive into therapy? You know, I think that we can do journaling, we can do meditation, we can do breath work, we can try to become observers of ourselves. I have two relationship journals. They're free. And so we can link them.
Yes. All of them.
Yes. Sure. And that these are prompts for whether you're not partnered or you are partnered right now. Okay. Prompts to do every single day for 30 days. And so that's, you know, that's something that we can wake up to and do every single day, but it's a commitment. It's a daily practice that is required right now to do this waking up. And so I'd say journal. Yeah, I love it, right? Wake up, right? Not just in the physical sense, right? It's like we have to wake up the emotional, spiritual sense and begin to understand ourselves better. And so I think those journals are a great place to start. I think that if you can get into a little bit of meditation and begin to become observers of ourselves, observers of our own thoughts, like, ooh, what popped in just now? Like when we're talking about the inner critic before, for example, you know, breath work can be a beautiful thing as well. And then, you know, circling back a little bit to where we began is that you can take week by week, like, what did I learn about religion? What did I learn about money? What did I learn about communication? What did I learn about conflict? What did I learn, you know, and sort of go down. We put a list out before, you know, gender, sex, intimacy, right? All these things, and take it slow at the pace that works for you to say, like, what did I see? What did I observe? What was spoken to me? What did I absorb? How did these things become part of my belief system? And do I agree with those things today? Yeah. Do I have questions about those things? Mm-hmm. Do I disagree? Do I need to rid something? Because that's the stuff, when we said before, like, jump in the driver's seat of your own life. Like, that's the stuff that drives us. Yeah. Right? Our conscious programming is in the driver's seat 95 to 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. That means that we are conscious 1 to 5% of the time. Wow. That statistic should blow everybody's mind.
That does blow, right?
It's like, wait a second, what do you mean? And that's just programming and conditioning.
Yeah.
Programming and conditioning. Our systems are running on their patterns. That's all it is.
Yeah. Right? So how powerful for us to be able to, with one of your journals or just, we don't even have to get to the conflict in the relationships. Yeah. We can start with ourselves. I'm glad I asked that question because you've jogged my mind on this. And I feel like I need to do this exercise again. It's so powerful to sit there in your power and do it before you even get to the conflict or before you even get in a relationship. And especially here we are, you know, this episode is going to air while we're all sitting here with a little bit more time on our hands.
Yeah.
So what a perfect time to do that.
And even if you are in a relationship right now, like, don't worry, nobody has to freak right now, right? Like, we're okay, right? Like, it's okay if you don't know a lot of these parts and you are in a relationship. We get to evolve and expand at any point, no matter what it looks like. We don't have to be, we'll never be finished products. And I never tell people that, oh, you have to complete on something before you get into a relationship. Like, you are allowed, right? I mean, listen, if you're entirely asleep, yeah, you know, it may not go so well, but that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to, you know what I mean? Like, as long as you're not trying to harm people and be reckless in a dynamic, right? Like, open your mind. Here you are. You're listening to this today. Beautiful. Open your mind. Open your heart. Be willing to do that work. See what it is that you can learn about yourself and somebody else. If that's something that you are not rejecting, like, if you heard me say those words and you're like, okay, right? And you feel a peace within you versus contraction and like, what's this woman talking about? And like, no, and rejection, right? Like, as just open heart, right? Like, that's okay. And so, wherever you are in your journey right now, and if you, I don't know, do you know about our course? We've got the like 6-week digital course, right? So like that may actually
love you want one.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that if people actually want to do a deeper dive into it, that one's really good.
I'm going like that one. Yeah. I whenever you said that, I was like, yes, of course I know about that course. An amazing course too to offer, and it's to get the love you want. That's what Vienna is referring to right now, and I'll leave that definitely leave that in the show notes, because that's a really amazing, like, deep dive tool.
Yeah. We'll give you guys a discount code for your
amazing.
So people can do it. Because if you're at home right now and you're wanting to improve the quality of relationships, like, this is a beautiful time to do the dive. So
it really is. And I love everything that you've said. It seems so inviting. And I love when a person as knowledgeable and educated as you can make therapy and bettering ourselves seem like something we want to do. Because a lot of times you think, oh no, I got to go to therapy, or I've got to do this work, and it's going to be really hard and treacherous. Uh-huh. And you have evolving and expanding and noticing things. You've made it seem like something that I'm sure a lot of people are going to want to do. And that's really awesome when someone like you that's so deep in this work can make people feel like that. That's why I wanted to bring you on the podcast today, because you put such a beautiful voice to this type of work. And I greatly appreciate, gosh, we've covered so many different things, and I don't want to take up too much more of your time. You've given us so much information already, and I so appreciate everything. I can't thank you enough for all of the information that you've brought to the listeners. And I always ask, the podcast is Living Fully, and I always ask, you know, whatever subject we're talking about, and here we're talking a lot about relationships. Mm-hmm. So how do you, in closing, how do you feel like one can live fully in relationships?
Whether it's relationship to self or relationship to other, to me, living fully within that framework is about being willing to look at ourselves, get to know ourselves, be a witness to ourselves, see ourselves. You know, we use the word like waking up a lot today. It's like waking up to the self and to the relationship. Like, when we do that, we are living fully in that space. Yes. It's so beautiful, right? And so, and it is an access point for every single one of us. That's what's cool. It doesn't cost money. It doesn't discriminate. It's for every single human being, right? Like, it's there for us. And it's just a willingness to go there, you know? So yeah, to me, it's just about the waking up.
Well, that was perfect. And I'm so glad that you were willing to go there and bring all of this amazing information to us on platforms that we can access, like Instagram and all of the ways that you are in the world. I will link Vienna's social media accounts and the courses that we talked about today and all in the journals and everything that we've talked about today in the show notes. That was a really, really beautiful way to end this podcast. I literally can't thank you enough, Vienna, for everything you shared with us today and just for being such a great positive voice in the space of something that's really hard to talk about a lot of times.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast.
Thank you so much. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to this week's episode. Tune in next Monday for more. And thank you again, Vienna.
Thanks for joining us on Living Fully with Mallory Irvin. And remember to subscribe so you don't miss a single minute of encouragement and inspiration to live your best life. Want more? Join us on MalloryIrvin.com so we can connect with you on Instagram and YouTube. Start living your life now. You've only got one. We'll see you next time.
Thank you to Pampers Cruisers 360 for supporting this episode. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.